Welcome to She Talks Tech, the brand new podcast from We Are Tech Women.
So next time you might face the situation above, think about how you can enable your colleagues. How could you help your teams get that email service out?
I'm Vanessa Vallely-OBE, founder of We Are The City and We Are Tech Women. As an individual that's been a technologist, both in the corporate space and as an entrepreneur, I know how tough it can be to rise to the top of our profession. Women in tech make up just 17% of the industry in the UK, and those stats do not improve even if you look overseas. At We Are Tech Women, we want you to rise to the top of the industry. We want you to sit into senior positions and be key decision makers. The She Talks Tech podcast will bring you stories, lessons and tips from some of the most inspirational women and men in the industry. Today we hear from the incredible James Heggs. James is CTO and co-founder of Tech Returners, and he has over 15 years' experience of leading tech teams. James is also the creator and lead coach for the successful Your Journey into Tech program, which enables individuals to carve out technology careers through a 15-week program of technical teaching and career support. Earlier this year, James won Technology Professional of the Year at the Made in Manchester Awards. In this episode, James will be walking us through his journey of some of the experience and lessons and adaptations he's had to do when leading tech teams through the DevOps revolution.
Our focus at Tech Returners is enabling individuals that have had a career break to return to the tech industry by refreshing already highly skilled individuals with the latest on the curve tech. I've been involved in tech now for around 13 years through different engineering roles such as software engineering, operations management, Head of Development and DevOps Consultancy, and I'm also the co-organiser of the DevOps Manchester Meetup. So let's get started and set the scene about what we're dealing with and just how big are these mistakes of mine. So let's tackle culture first. So tackling culture is probably the hardest element of comms, and people are incredibly key to the adoption of DevOps. But we all know that culture is a term that it kind of gets bandied around and groups a whole host of things. So let me set the scene a bit about my mistake. So I was on a project which was part of the Government Digital Service, or the GDS scheme, and I was in a three-person ops team. And we thought our role was to keep the lights on, stability and security, and especially when I first joined, as we were about to go through a government system security audit. And high five to anybody that's been through one of those. At the end of the two-week sprint, the product teams invited us along to the sprint review. So I know you're already thinking, well, shouldn't you have been part of the team? And yet at that stage, we weren't. In the review, they shared a new email service. So it was a new service that was built to be able to send emails out to customers. And to our horror, we hadn't been consulted. So us in ops hadn't been consulted on this new tool that was looking to go live. And let's just say we were the opposite of constructive. In fact, we were a bunch of tools. We spent a period of time in that review pointing out all the reasons why the service couldn't go into production, the reasons why it had issues that we couldn't just let go into production. And we were probably a little bit heightened from being through the security audit. But although the facts around security were correct, our delivery and how we engaged with the teams during that time was just very, very negative, shall we say. And also, let's set the scene a little bit about the people in this situation. They've spent 2 weeks putting time and energy into something for us to come along at the end of that 2 weeks and say, we can't go live with that. That day, we impacted culture, whether we intended it or not, and culture, we say, is this thing that lives and you can't create a culture, it just happens. But that day, we impacted culture, not for positive reasons. So you watching this at home, you know we should have been more solution-minded and discussed how we could get the service live. But I don't want to stop at that advice because you already know that. I want you to review what you were being asked to do. Product engineers, or dev in the DevOps world, so we say, are often asked to be forward-facing, new features on an iterative kind of sprint cadence, shiny new things, you might say. So change is a part of that role. Operations are often asked for stability, things like service level agreements, uptime. They're the kind of key performance indicators we might see. Things like being on call, keeping the lights on and monitoring systems. So potentially there's a bit of change resistance there. Potentially, that's not everyone. So next time you might face the situation above, think about how you can enable your colleagues. How could you help your teams get that email service out? Definitely on some of those things, I recommend having a read of the SRE, the Google SRE, Site Reliability Engineering book. So that takes us on to automation. Okay, so in this scenario, it was actually Facebook. And one day I got excited by reading a white paper from Facebook and how they do their deploys. They have the capability to release hundreds of times a day. And after reading the paper, a few days later, I came back to the team with a grand plan. And I'm sure we've all either done that after being inspired by something or been the recipient of that from leadership team members being a little bit giddy about a grand plan. But do you know what? The team absolutely aimed for and delivered on that goal. And we went from doing two releases every few months to tens of releases a day. Not quite at the Facebook hundreds. We didn't need that kind of speed, but tens of releases a day. So where's the mistake? So my mistake was the deploys remained a technical activity for a number of months. And it wasn't until our product owner kind of tongue in cheek one day asked if we could create a big red release button so that they could do the release. And that's when it kind of dawned on me that although we'd got the capability, technical capability, and we'd got continuous delivery pipelines, we still hadn't enabled our non-technical teams to get that stuff that we created in front of our customers, people like in our product engineers. So the mistake was spotting that opportunity. Making our release a non-technical activity, kind of a push-button decision, had the biggest automation impact, or shall I say, had realized the biggest value from the automation work we'd done. At the time, it was a Slack thing, so you could respond over Slack with two emojis, always two emojis, not just one, two different emojis, two specific emojis that said, go ahead and do the release. And it meant that our product teams could deploy or feature toggle as required. And it was that took us from going from fast to being fast enough. So we were as fast as our marketing, sales, support, and most importantly, our customers needed us to be. So when you're looking at automation, think about what value you're unlocking. Let's move on to lean. Everybody has their story of how you were lean. And we all kind of go to those examples, right? We see the blog post of Agile and building the go-kart, not the Ferrari. The story of taking photos of shoes in a shop and starting there. This one starts with another security audit. And this time we were creating an app to be listed on the app store of a well-known CRM platform. As part of that listing, you had to submit a vulnerability scan. So if anybody's looked at that kind of stuff, it was a OWASP top 10 kind of checks for the top 10 vulnerabilities. And we knew at the time we needed to, having run our own scans internally, we needed to address a particular vulnerability. But we also knew that meant updating hundreds of pages of our web application. So it was a considerable amount of work, not doing the change, but just imagine saying to your test team members, so we want to change hundreds of pages on the application. What impact does that have on regression testing? And you'll probably get some kind of reaction. Now, of course, everything's mission critical, right? So you're in a business and it's the product, it's what you believe in, it's mission critical. So we went down a rabbit hole of considering a whole shed load of time and different approaches for getting the regression testing done. Like exploring how could we get machines to do a certain part of it, but what did we miss from the humans doing it? Exploring different approaches to that regression testing. Could we outsource it? That kind of approach. Until one team member said this, we could just release it. And I don't know whether at the time, whether they thought that was tongue in cheek or whether actually it was a different approach, but we'd created this continuous delivery pipeline that allowed us to deploy tens of times a day. Why not just ship it and see what breaks? Which I'm not, you know, advocating testing in production, but I'm also saying don't prevent your thought process from considering it as an option. And so we did. We shipped those 100 page changes, and it was just those changes. It wasn't any other application changes. And of those 100 of updates on those pages, we had one error on a non-critical page. And it was one of our support team members that found that actually, so customers didn't spot it. But it was a calculated gamble. So we were able to release the fix as quick as we had released the error. There's actually a really interesting customer service book called A Complaint is a Gift, and it talks about the fact that people actually value you more if they find a bug and you fix it than had they never found the bug in the first place. Maybe I'm just backwards justifying the decision we took. But why am I telling you that? So why is this talking about lean? I think actually this is talking about the power of diversity of thought. In the tech industry, diversity is absolute key to achieving products that people really use and find valuable. And that diverse thinking from the team member, when many of us were clouded in kind of thinking about a single solution, a single approach, is what unlocked thousands of pounds of committed time and budget. And there was a truly objective, tangible pound figure next to what that diversity of thought unlocked. And it was that helped us to remain lean, that diverse thinking from the team. Why am I sharing that? Why is that a value? So putting tangible value to diverse thinking is exactly how we can work with our industry to bring around that kind of change that I know a lot of us are looking at. So finally, sharing. Sharing can take lots of forms. It can be sharing operational stats in order for the team to make more informed decisions, like CPU usage and memory and all that fun stuff that you see on the TV monitors. It can be sharing best practices across teams to encourage adoption or autonomy. And in my particular case, it was sharing the investigation into a bug. So we had a particular problem in our production environment, and it was happening in one of our services. And it was panning out to be a typical dev versus ops situation, with dev saying it was working fine locally and operations saying it doesn't seem to be the environment causing it. And my mistake in this scenario was even considering throwing the bug back over the fence and effectively resolving it with an NMP solution, not my problem. I was just about to send the Jira ticket back with a comment along those lines until I realized my mistake. If I did throw it back, I wasn't sharing the problem. I wasn't sharing that responsibility of supporting our customers and getting a bug fixed. So it dawned on me, I remember it now, I was on the train heading into work, and it dawned on me, I thought, well, I've got some time here, I can debug and have a look into this. So I could share that debugging and investigation. So I started to look into the errors and the stack trace, and I shared the problem, and I was able to publish my findings on the ticket and what I'd found out and where my thoughts were around what it was. And we supported each other through resolving that issue, working together. And I don't think at the time I realised the kind of cultural impact that was having. So by sharing that problem, it built up a connection between people, between engineers, and it meant that as we further transitioned through the DevOps culture, such as things like engineers going on call or being conscious of operational stats to make better informed decisions, that transition was a lot smoother because the people had built up trust already. And in almost, it wasn't labeled, we were transitioning through that DevOps culture because of sharing. I love talking tech, and especially DevOps. So please get in touch with me if you fancy hearing them. Just one request though, you've got to share your mistake, but importantly, what you learned from that, so that we both get an opportunity to learn. Think of it as your own DevOps confession chamber, if you will. So let's wrap up. Why am I telling you about these mistakes and some of the mistakes I've made throughout my career? And what do I want you to take away from this 20 minutes? So you'll have heard of the project triangle or the iron triangle and the take two constraint. You can have it fast and cheap, but you'll get impacted on quality. You can have it cheap and high quality, but it will take a long time. You can have it fast and high quality, but it will be expensive. Let's say that cost is a constant. Cost is always there and the focus on it is always going to be key. So for me, DevOps is the enablement of speed, with the focus on stability. But it always starts with a focus on yourself. So next time you are working in or bringing about a DevOps culture, think about how you can enable speed or promote stability by supporting your colleagues.
James, thank you so much for joining us today on She Talks Tech. I can absolutely relate to some of the examples that you gave around leading teams. For those of you who want to find out more about James, you can find him on LinkedIn or you can follow him on Twitter at Eggsy, that's EGGFY, 84. So give him a follow and feel free to ask any questions. And to all of you, our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe for future episodes. Give us that 5-star rating, and hopefully we'll see you next Wednesday for a new episode of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women.